This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 255, for the weekend of February 12th through February 14th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, that show where we talk about mostly movies, but we can include other stuff. And to kind of follow convention of some other podcasts I've been listening to, we should mention our website is backseatproducers.com, where you can find multiple shows, which I mean two, this show and Backseat Producers. And you're already listening to this one, but also for more of a long-form discussion of movies, you can go over and check out Backseat Producers. Okay, enough of that. Art, how are you doing?
I am doing very well. I am 3 days into 3 weeks off.
3 weeks off?
3 weeks off. It is fabulous.
Almost sounds like an administrative leave, Art.
No, I'm taking vacation time. I got 6 weeks vacation coming this year, and Brittany is taking some classes, or a class, actually. And so I just thought it'd be easier to take the time off than to deal with, you know, trying to juggle schedules. And wow. I had the time. It was available. And so I am just relaxing. Right before, like, the last day I worked, I'd been striving and striving to get under 210. So I broke 210. I am now guessing I'm going to gain 15 pounds over the next 3 weeks. We'll see how that works out for me.
Well, you know.
I'm
not your doctor, so you deserve it.
You know what? I'm not worried about it. I am I'm in good shape. I put on a few pounds because I won't be working as much, and then they'll come right back off as soon as we go back to work and we start coming into summer. Speaking of summer, it's in the 70s here again in February. It's crazy. I was commenting to – I have a retirement home on my route, and so I was around delivering the mail. And the man comments on the weather we've been having. And it was like in the 60s. I said, yeah, it was really nice. You know, it's blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, he's like, just wait till we get into February. And I didn't have the heart to tell him because at this point it was like February 5th. I'm like, it already is February. This weather is crazy. It's supposed to hit 79 next Friday. So we're definitely pooling sometime this month.
Yeah, we're 85 today.
Nice. Well, so. Yeah, California, crazy.
Yeah.
Especially Southern California. That was nice. I was out there 3 years, and that was nice. But so yeah, living it up, enjoying the weather, not going to work. Doesn't get any better than that.
All right. Let's talk about other things that are kind of on vacation, or what seems like not as hi, I'm really struggling for the segue. So I'm just going to say, hey, last week's box office results. So, as we momentarily pause while I bring it up. Okay, here we go. For the weekend of February 5th through February 7th, here are your top five. At number one, we have Kung Fu Panda at $21.2 million. At number two, new release Hail Caesar at $11.4 million, if we're rounding. At number three, we have, that movie's still sticking around, Star Wars : The Force Awakens at we'll just call it $7 million. At number four, The Revenant at $6.9 million. And at number five, The Choice, which looks like not a lot of people are making, at $6 million. And that's your number five, just missing out by $0.7 million, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So there's your top five and a half.
Yes.
So, Art, anything to say about this?
Yeah, Kung Fu Panda is, that's kind of a soft showing for them. 40 million opening weekend, 20 million, 20 additional million this weekend, coming up on 70 million. I would have thought that would have been higher on its opening week. And seeing Star Wars still at number three is nice. Mm-hmm. They are at, where is it at here? 2 billion worldwide, mm-hmm. So hooray.
Yeah. So we're just going to, I'm going to bring something up because Art is not a big fan of these two guys, but the Coen brothers, they created this Hail Caesar movie, and they're saying it's a box office disappointment, and it might just be a disappointment because it's in February. So I did a little looking at all of the movies that they were involved in, and I looked at the director, but I don't think they directed most of the films that they're known for.
Okay.
But a lot of them, I mean, the openings weren't great, and they didn't really make a whole lot of money. But they, you know, they're almost like textbook cult classics.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, in going oldest first, Raising Arizona made $22.8 million, and it hit a max of 697 screens. And if we go up to Fargo, that maxed out at 716 screens and made $24.6 million. Big Lebowski, probably the most cult classic of all the movies that they've done, $17.4 million. And it was on 1,200 screens. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? $45.5 million, 847 screens. So I'm going to jump up. No Country for Old Men, $74 million. That's a little more recent. It got to 2,000 screens. Burn After Reading, $60 million. 2,600 screens. True Grit is probably the movie that's made the most by a long shot. It's made a total of 171 million, and it maxed out at 3,500 screens, probably due to Jeff Bridges. And another movie, their only other movie that they were involved with that made one over 100 was Unbroken, which I guess they were either writers or co-writers on. That made 115 million, and who knows how Hail Caesar is going to do. If you want to compare it to the other George Clooney, which was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, made $45 million. So I was a little surprised that the money end of their movies was not higher. But yeah, so I learned something.
Yeah, I would attribute True Grit as much to the resurgence in Jeff Bridges' career as to the fact that it was a remake, and so it had a... You know, people, I think, went and watched it to see how it measured up to the original with John Wayne.
Right, right. All right, so that's enough about box office results.
And that's enough about the Coen brothers.
Feel free to interject any personal opinions or agendas as you see fit.
That's what this is all about, sir.
I'm just restating the obvious. All right. Uh-huh. So now let's go over to new releases. And Art, why don't you tell us about the first of three movies coming out this weekend?
Okay, well, we are going to kick it off with the big movie, the one everybody wants to talk about. We're going to kick it off with Deadpool. Deadpool is rated 81% fresh on the tomato meter, 99% want to see it. Based on Marvel Comics' most unconventional anti-hero, Deadpool tells the origin story of former... stupid pop-up. Based upon the Marvel Comics' most unconventional anti-hero, Deadpool tells the origin story of former Special Forces operative turned mercenary Wade Wilson, who after being subjected to a rogue experiment that leaves him with accelerated healing powers, adopts the alter ego Deadpool. Armed with his new abilities and a dark, twisted sense of humor, Deadpool hunts down the man who nearly destroyed his life. Rated R for strong violence and language throughout, sexual content, and graphic nudity. Genre, action-adventure, science fiction, and fantasy comedy. Directed by Tim Miller. Written by Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, Rob Liefeld, Fabian... No idea. Nicesia?
Nicesia, I think I'll go with.
Nicesia? Yeah. Okay, sure. Cast, Ryan Reynolds, Marina Baccarin, Gina Carano, Ed Skrein, TJ Miller. Let's start skipping people. That's all I got. TJ Miller. I'm all about TJ Miller.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. It's really hard to tell my son there's no way he's going to this.
He's how old now?
12.
12. Because Tony Mast said he's not letting his son see it without him screening it first. And his son is 13. So I just think that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be bloody. It's going to be violent. It's going to be, you know, the foul language, you know, so yeah, I can understand it. I was watching something and a trailer came on and I was like, who is that? I'm like, that's Deadpool. And she's like, I don't want to watch his movie. I said, good, because you're not gonna.
All right, so as I am wont to do, here's some blurbs from reviews that are on the bottom of the Rotten Tomatoes page for Deadpool. First, we'll go the Rotten Tomato from Richard Roper from the Chicago Sun-Times. If only Deadpool were as clever, dark, and funny as it believes itself to be. Okay. Where was the other one I was going to read? Oh, here's one. Okay, this is from Steven Rebello from Playboy Online. Deadpool is filthy, degenerate, and seriously pervy. And Reynolds, decked out in red and black spandex, sporting two katanas and white canvas, where I should be, is every bit as flip, funny, nasty, and self-deprecating as you'd want. So I'm not really selling anyone that's not already 100% on seeing this. But I will say they did not put pervasive language, but that's a good thing.
That's good. That's
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of fence sitters with this one. You're either all in or you're not, and that's
Right.
fine. You know, it's not hiding what it is. It's not pretending to be something else. It is, well, there have been a few ads that it has been pretending to be something else.
Yes.
The romantic comedy ads have been pretty funny, or the little memes. I found a Deadpool Facebook page, and I think I shared about, I don't know, a dozen, two dozen things. I just kept laughing and
I think you're
sharing and
being
laughing and sharing.
conservative.
You think it was more than two dozen?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was.
Or it might be that there's a lot of Deadpool stuff out there, so it might not just be coming from you.
No,
It
I
seems
literally
like.
I found this site and I literally just went through and just was sharing just a ton. The emojis had me cracking up.
All right, so let's move on over to something that's going to be, I'm just going to say it's probably going to be lower in the trash can. Zoolander 2 currently is 41% on the tomato meter, and I can't believe that's hot. It's that high. Out of 32 reviews, 13 fresh and 19 rotten, and 95% of the 32,000 Rotten Tomatoes users want to see this. So here's the description. Ben Stiller returns both in front of and behind the camera for Zoolander 2, a comedy that finds the beloved model Derek Zoolander Stiller and his rival turned partner Hansel Owen Wilson facing a threat to their continued success. Yeah, that's it. Rated PG-13 for crude and sexual content, a scene of exaggerated violence and brief, strong language. Okay, spelled. Okay.
Lanaguage, yeah, I see that. Lanaguage.
Yeah, so apparently supermodels are too dumb for spell check. All right. Comedy is genre or genre's comedy. I don't know what's going on. Directed by Ben Stiller, written by Justin Theroux, Ben Stiller, Nicholas Stoller, and John Hamburg. And this will cost you 1 hour and 40 minutes of your time. Who's going to be in this movie? Well, we have Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson. We have Will Ferrell, Penelope Cruz, Kristen Wiig, Fred Armisen from Portlandia, and Benedict Cumberbatch,
Woohoo!
Christine Taylor, Olivia Munn, Justin Bieber, who thankfully dies. That's in the spoiler, or in the trailer, not spoiler. And yeah, didn't see the first one. Probably not gonna see the second one.
I've seen the first one. I saw it on just like regular television. So, yeah, I didn't care for it. There were a couple of small laughs, but I know a lot of people who really enjoy this movie. I don't get it. And I think this movie has come here to die. I mean, to be up against Deadpool, an actual popular movie that people want to see. And the next movie we're going to talk about, which is an actual romantic comedy on Valentine's Day weekend. I think Zoolander just doesn't work as counter programming, and it's just they said, okay, stick it there, whatever. I would be surprised. I'd be surprised if this movie was number three. Let alone, I really don't see it being on the top five list at all.
Okay, so here are some rapid fire one sentence reviews from Newsday. Stiller and company uphold the Zoolander brand with honor. That's a fresh tomato. And we also have the New York Daily News says, "Do you like Zoolander? Good, then you'll like Zoolander too." Then we scroll down a little bit. Variety says the orange mocha crappuccino of movie sequels. Yes, that's a Rotten Tomato. The Movie Minute says, yes, it's ridiculous. It's supposed to be. That's a Fresh Tomato. And last one is from the Tribune News Service. A really, really ridiculous hot mess. Oh, a really, really ridiculously hot mess. So yeah, I think that's enough of that. Let's go to the third one.
Yeah. Okay, our third movie is How to Be Single. I mean, and yeah, on a Valentine's Day weekend, why wouldn't you do a relationship movie? So you're talking about being surprised that Zoolander had a 40 rating. This movie is not even rated yet.
Yeah.
Sorry, my connection is giving me all kinds of problems. But 93% want to see it. So here's our info. A young woman searches for love in New York City in this romantic comedy based on a novel by Liz Tusillo and produced by Drew Barrymore, Jason Buchanan. This is rated R. For sexual content, strong language throughout. Comedy, romance, directed by Christian Ditter, written by Abby Cohn, Mark Silverstein, Dana Fox. This will cost you 1 hour and 50 minutes. We have Dakota Johnson of 50 Shades fame, Allison Brie, Rebel Wilson, Leslie Mann, Jason Mantzoukas. How did this get made? He's popping up all over the place. Damon Wayans Jr., and that's all I see of interest.
That's almost enough Allison Brie and Jason Mantzoukas to get me this movie. Almost.
Almost. Yeah, I don't know. I suppose, like, if we did, like, a double movie date, you come see Deadpool with me, I'll go see this How to Be Single with You kind of a crossover with my wife. That'd be the only way I end up seeing this.
So yeah, two fresh, two rotten, and the one of the fresh was from Rick Bentley from the Fresno Bee. How to Be Single is a wonderful surprise. It takes a high road in both comedy and story that makes it work on multiple levels. More comedies should focus on one gender, or more comedies that focus on one gender should pay attention to this movie. The cast and crew deliver from start to finish. Wow, sounds a little cool, lady, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I believe that is it for new movies. So yeah, three movies that came out in the theater. One we're highly recommending. The other two, kind of lukewarm on. So Art, let's move on over to share time. So what did you watch over the last 14 days?
Okay, well, in the last 14 days, I have finished all of the first season of Justice League. And it's just so good. Aubrey continues to absolutely love, all the Justice League characters. When I was, I went to hang out at a game night tonight, and, we were talking about something, superhero characters, I was talking about what I get to watch and what I don't get to watch, you know, and somebody made the statement from across the table. She's like, you know, you consume the media that you want to consume. Anything that you haven't watched for a reason. I said, I haven't watched a lot of things because I don't have enough time in my life. She goes, well, there's never going to be any more time in your life. I said, yes, but at some point my daughter will be old enough to watch everything I want to watch with her. And she goes, well, there is that. And then that made me think of that video I posted where I asked her what her favorite, you know, superhero characters were. Mm-hmm. And so I showed her the video, and, you know, she's, you know, Green Lantern and Booster Gold and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, where does she know all these characters from? I'm like, Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. She's like, oh, those are really good, and those are kid appropriate. I'm like, yes, yes, they are. And so we've just watched so many of these together. And she's always down for, yeah, let's watch superheroes. And then when they do the intro, they show all the characters kind of in this stylized Art Deco kind of fashion. And as each character comes on screen, she calls out their name because she's like, she's so happy she knows all their names. And Yeah, I've just got no end of enjoyment from catching up on these shows. I watched some of them when they were on TV, but just catching things on a regular basis is hard. And now just watching it all on Netflix, watching it all in order, there's so many of them that are like two-parters, three-parters. There's story arcs that carry over from earlier in the season to later in the season to from different seasons to other seasons. It's just really, really good. Completely firing on all cylinders, and I can't wait to jump into season two. The only other thing I watched was we did go and see Kung Fu Panda. I really enjoyed it a lot. I like the first two movies better. It was still really, really good. There were some things with the pandas I didn't care for, like the pandas as a culture. Brittany's absolutely favorite thing of the entire show was the pandas. And I thought that was kind of funny. But Aubrey enjoyed it. We'll definitely be picking it up when it comes out on DVD because we already have the first two and the all the little bonus DVDs that came with. And Aubrey even likes watching the TV series on Netflix from time to time. So yeah, big Kung Fu Panda fans in this house, and I really enjoyed it. There was also a local martial arts studio school doing a demonstration in the lobby for the opening weekend. And so we signed Aubrey up to go try out some martial arts classes. We'll see how that goes. So yeah, I thought that was all interesting, but that takes care of most of my share time. I guess I will share a little bit on the podcast front. I normally don't listen to podcasts at all when I'm off. I only listen to podcasts when I'm sitting there casing mail, walking around all day, putting in my 15 miles for the day. And so the day after I went on vacation, or maybe it was 2 days, no, I think it was the day after I went on vacation, the Star Wars episode of Backseat Producers dropped. And so I download it anyway, and I listen to it on vacation. So I don't listen to podcasts on my vacation. I listen to that one. And needless to say, some people liked it, some people didn't. I won't say who's who, but it was another great episode.
Okay, good.
And that wraps
Yeah.
up my share time, sir. What do you got?
All right, so I turned 46 on the 29th of January. And so my mom and I, we have a long-standing tradition of going to a movie together. So I ended up going to see Star Wars for the third time. And she went and
Nice.
saw Star Wars Force Awakens for the first time. And I gotta say, I was pretty anxious about how she would like it because, she watches a lot of independent movies. She commented to me after we saw the litany of trailers for, Civil War, X-Men Apocalypse, Batman versus Superman, that she doesn't know about any of these movies. But I was very happy to hear her, laughing at all the right spots. Even though there are these two old guys behind us, I thought for sure it was the two guys from The Muppets. Or to be honest,
The
yeah, because I mean, they weren't heckling or anything, but they were laughing at almost every joke, kind of
Nice.
thing. So it was a lot of fun. I really didn't pick up anything else, with the exception of I've talked about how I'm still wondering why Leia hugs Rey after they come back. And we talked about, well, Chewbacca wasn't around because he's with Finn. Chewbacca walks right by Leia just as they're about to hug. The other thing, and I think I missed it the first two times, does Finn say to BB-8, droid, please?
He does.
Okay. I don't know how I missed it the first two times, but I was like, oh my, I can't believe I just heard that. But anyways, yeah. So it's still a lot of fun. And the third time through, it doesn't really drag too much in any one spot for me anymore. Because usually,
No. Okay.
like I remember Phantom Menace, you're just counting the minutes until Maul shows up in that hangar. But yeah. And I want to go see. I want to go see it again.
I want to go see it again. I need to take Aubrey to see it. We still haven't seen it together. It's just been has been working out. But now that I'm off for 3 weeks, we're gonna make time to see it probably this weekend. But the thing I wanted to say was there. something that somebody else mentioned about Star Wars, and I thought about it after that. I do remember it happening. I'll have to look at the context exactly of when this is happening and what else is going on. But there was a point where Maz asks Han, "Who's the girl?"
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't answer anything at all. He like ignores the question. And so it makes you wonder a little more. Does he know more? And there's a reason he's not saying anything.
Right.
So right. I don't know. So many things.
And on a related note, there's a book of short stories, I guess, before The Awakening, where they have a Finn story, a Rey story. Yeah. So I read the Finn story while I was waiting to get my oil changed.
Okay.
And the story mainly has to do with, I mean, because there's kind of a little history between Phasma and Finn.
Okay.
That kind of makes me wish that they would have written their dialogue a little bit differently. Because you didn't get a really good sense that Phasma is, she knows all about Finn.
Right.
Which is a little different than what's in the short story. But anyways. But okay. I enjoyed reading it, and the guy with the pike or whatever.
Right.
He's actually, you know, in his unit. So that's an interesting thing too. So anyways. On to other things. That's really on the movie side. That's the only movie I've really checked out. I'm a couple episodes further into The Man in the High Castle. I'm still liking it. You know, they're starting to hit more plot points in the story. So I'm definitely going to continue watching that. But it's very X-Files as far as tone, or not really tone, but as the aesthetic as I'm watching it visually. Reminds me of X-Files a lot. And then my daughter sat me down last couple of days, and we've been catching up on The Undateable, which is just a sitcom, but they record live. It's just Keystone Cops, as far, you know, as a comedy in a bar kind of thing. But the jokes are, I mean, the show still makes me laugh, even though a lot of them is just improv. But I don't know how long it's going to be, how much longer it's going to be around. They're starting to do some stunt casting. There was a show, one of the stars was on a show, Whitney. And so they brought Whitney Cummings is now playing his girlfriend on the show.
Okay.
And she's she's probably one of the most masculine female comedians I've ever seen.
Love Whitney.
Yeah.
I've seen her stand up, and the second season of Whitney, I never saw the first season, but the second season I really enjoyed.
Yeah. And I'm about four episodes in on Agent Carter, and I'm really liking Agent Carter. They've definitely made it a little bit new because now they're on the West Coast. And it's Marvel, so they're paying good attention to some of the details about 1940s California or Hollywood kind of thing. And you kind of know who the bad guy is, even though I have no recollection from the comic books who Madame Mask was.
Okay.
But so anyways, I'm enjoying Agent Carter, and there's actually a new story relating to Agent Carter. So I'm definitely enjoying it. And I think I'm going to wrap up my share of time. Oh, I will say on the podcast end, I'm the same way. I usually don't listen to podcasts unless I'm in the car. I have been catching up on my Dice Tower. But I did see that they posted the finale to the Eldemy actual play for Happy Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little bit sad of that. I'm still busted up over Drang leaving. But I know,
champion of Chunderbog.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, real life gets in the way, and it's just hopefully that he'll be back sometime. But you know, first world problems. All right, so that is it for share time for this week. So now, I would be remiss in not pausing for a minute because we've had a voicemail on the show for a couple weeks now. And so We're gonna play Tad's voicemail right now. So take it away, Tad.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in. I'm probably not gonna be able to get in this week, and I just wanted to do a quick what I've been watching. I saw two things. I'm gonna mention two things. I've been watching a lot more, but maybe I'll call in later with some more stuff. Star Wars. I saw Star Wars. I loved it. It was pretty good. I think it kind of needed that little kind of, it was, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know, throwback or whatever to the original six or the original three. And I really liked that. And, I think it kind of set up a good story to go ahead in the future. And I'm not really going to do any spoilers, but I think it's a good one. And I think we're, heading for in a good direction for the Star Wars universe. The second one that I saw was The Good Dinosaur. And I'm not really much for cartoons, but other people in the family wanted to go see it, so I went along. And it was pretty good. I liked it. Kind of a quick note there. I went to high school with one of the girls that does one of the voices in that movie. She does the voice of Lorraine. One of the velociraptors or the rustlers that steal the longhorns. Her name is Carrie Paff, but I knew her in high school. She still does quite a bit of acting and teaches acting and stuff like that. So I just thought that was kind of cool and thought I'd mention it. And, great show. And I'll talk to you guys again soon. All right. Bye bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Tad. And, please send us more. We'd love to hear what other stuff you've been checking out. All right, so now we'll end share time, and now we'll get over to news. So, Art, what do you have for us?
Okay, I'm going to lead off with, have you heard of this movie, Mr. Right?
No. Please enlighten me.
Mr. Right is, on the surface, it appears to be a... how do I say this? It's one of those odd couple pairings, you know, where the male lead is this, you know, assassin, killer, mercenary, super soldier, awesome kind of guy, you know, like Night and Day or Gross Point Blank or, you know, any number of other cliched, been done a dozen times. And then you come to the fact that it's Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick.
Oh my gosh.
As the two leads.
Oh wow.
Right. And I'm like, okay, wait, stop for a second. Now I'm very, very interested. So imagine if you had something like Night and Day, and instead of having Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, you've got Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick. And I don't know if this is going to be done well or not, but I'm definitely interested.
By the way, I think Night and Day, wasn't that Cameron Diaz?
Cameron Diaz, you're right. Okay. Cameron Diaz. Okay. I was just pulling the reference out of my butt. Thank you for correcting that.
No. I just want to make sure I'm thinking of the right movie.
Yeah, no, you're thinking of the right movie. And you know, I loved Gross Point Blank because Gross Point Blank was Minnie Driver and John Cusack. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a good pairing. And I like both those actors, but Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick, I mean, it's bringing it into the modern era with, two actors I really enjoy. Sam Rockwell is just killing it all the time. Anna Kendrick, ever since the first Pitch Perfect, mm-hmm. Just really liked her. So we will see where this goes, but it has me interested.
No, it has me interested too. All right, so there's this little thing called the Oscars coming up. So Art and I were talking pre-show a little bit about it, and he was a little dumbfounded about how much one of these little swag bags that you get with the Oscars.
Just a little swag bag. I mean, you know, whatever. Yeah. Each person who goes gets one.
Well, they're saying 230,000 is the value of one of these swag bags. So let's talk about these swag bags. So they're saying that each of the 25 acting and directing nominees will get one of these. So what's in here that's worth $230,000. We're not going to cover everything, but we're just going to couple of the big things.
The highlights.
Yeah. So the most expensive item is a 10-day first-class trip to Israel. which comes in at $55,000.
Okay, wait. I have to stop you for a second, okay? Do you realize that if you're a tourist and you go to Israel, that there is a, it's like an attraction where they have laid down this iron mesh grating just below the water surface on the Sea of Galilee. So you can walk on the water and have your picture taken walking on the Sea of Galilee. That is a real thing, sir.
Wow. Did not know that. So,
No. I had to bring that up because I know that. I've seen the pictures. I know people who've done it. And that's pretty tacky and kind of funny at the same time. So please do continue. 10-day trip to Israel, where maybe they'll get to walk on the Sea of Galilee.
In addition to that, you get a year's worth of unlimited Audi car rentals from Silver Car, which usually costs about $45,000.
Wow.
And a 15-day walking tour of Japan, $45,000.
Wow.
It doesn't stop there. I'm just reading the straight copy now. There's also a myriad of other beauty and therapy products and treatments, such as a lifetime supply of Lazora skin creams, $31,200. A Haze Dual V3 vaporizer, which is $250. Wow, they really jumped down. The laser skin tightening procedure, all therapy, $55,530. Three private training sessions with celebrity wellness expert Jay Cardiello, $1,400. And a Fit Club TV Ultimate Fitness Package that's held in a private villa for $6,250.
Wow.
But probably the most disturbing parts of the gift bag are $1,900 worth of vampire breast lift, which uses blood-derived growth factors to enhance breasts without the need for implants. Better living through chemistry, folks.
Wow.
While the female participants also receive a $200 arouser sex toy, which is just plain wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I should have left that last part out. Okay.
I wonder if it's one of those Target. No, never mind.
Just eject, man. All right. So there's your Oscar gift bags. If you didn't feel bad enough about the Oscars, there's a little more left to drain out of the pool. All right. Art, what do you got next?
Wow, I'm still in awe. I'm still in awe. Okay. Deathstroke is a future DC film villain. Here's what we know. So Deathstroke has played a part in Arrow on the WB, and he was a major part of the second season. And when asked Slade Wilson would be coming back to Arrow, the quote given was, "The character of Slade Wilson is currently tied up in another DC project." So the statement is vague, although it remains unclear what another DC project refers to. They can make some educated guesses. So he could fit into the Suicide Squad. There's a Scott Eastwood as yet unnamed character, blah, 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 Suicide Squad. So, yeah, I don't know. I have been a big fan of Deathstroke ever since they did they started doing the annuals way back in the day, and Deathstroke got his own annual, and it was like a future what if kind of a thing. And I like Deathstroke. I like Deadpool, because Deadpool is basically a parody, a mocking of Deathstroke. And so I like both characters for different reasons, and I would love to see a good portrayal of him come to the big screen.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've read anything on Deathstroke.
Yeah, okay.
All right. My next story is two announcements, actually three announcements. They have a showrunner for the Star Trek television show, Brian Fuller. Now, in case you didn't know who Brian Fuller was, he was a producer on one of my favorite sitcoms. I won't say sitcoms. It was kind of a Wonderfalls. He was a producer on Wonderfalls. He also was a driving force behind Pushing Daisies.
No.
Lately, he's been working on Hannibal. But he is he's going to be show running the new Star Trek television series, that the first one's going to be on CBS, and then all the subsequent episodes you have to watch on the CBS streaming service. They're not going to be broadcast, as far as I know. He did work on Deep Space Nine and Star Trek Voyager, so he does have a little track record.
Yeah, I was going to say, because those first three are not really in that wheelhouse at all.
Yeah, Wonderful is so good. I'm going to wait probably a couple years and show it to my daughter. But it was another one that got canceled by Fox.
Fox.
Yeah, so anyways.
Bane of our existence.
All right, second of third announcements is that, again, there is more traction on bringing Battlestar Galactica to the big screen. I don't know who any of these people are, so I don't really know it's going to help you. But it's in development, so let's keep our fingers crossed, even though I don't know how it would work as a movie. I don't know if they tried to do a movie with the original Battlestar, and it fell short.
There was like a TV movie that was absolutely horrible, and then they tried to reboot the series, and that didn't go well either.
That's where they got the Earth?
Right.
Yeah.
It was like Battlestar in 1980 or something like that, if I remember vaguely correctly.
And the last announcement is kind of indirectly related to Agent Carter. Apparently, Miss Atwell is going to be on the show Conviction, which I believe is a non-Marvel thing. So everyone's saying, does she know that Agent Carter's stopping after season two? And they're saying that no. If they're going to pick up Agent Carter for season three, and I hope they do, that she'll work her schedule around. And the nice thing is, it's not really around, you know, the typical fall schedule. It's kind of a mid-season replacement. So yeah. that could still work. But I don't know if I'm prepared to see her in any other role other than Peggy.
That's all she is. She can't be anything else.
Right.
She's typecast forever, just to make me happy.
Well, no, that's just
I know.
My fanboy pigeonholing.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It is exactly what I said, just to make us happy.
Right. All right, Art, what you got next?
Okay. One of the most mysterious Star Wars characters ever has been revealed. I thought this was interesting because I saw the tagline of the title and I thought, really? This can't be anything good. But it turns out, so as of just not that long ago, the Corellian smuggler in the cantina scene who sends Ben over to Han, that character was uncredited, and for the longest time nobody had any idea who it was because he played that role and then just kind of disappeared. It was a character named Boshek, and so somebody got in their head to figure out who this character was, an investigative journalist named Billy Jensen, and you know, through talking with a bunch of people he was able to finally track down the actor. And sadly it turned out the actor has actually been dead for like 11 years. But I just thought it was interesting. If you go look up this Boshek character, and you remember, you know, Ben going in, talking to the guy, and the guy sending him over to Han, and it's, you know, just one of the lines in the article is like, imagine if this had been the guy that they had went, you know, if they had flown with instead of Han. And what different story would that be? So I thought that was interesting. After all these years, there's still little nuggets of information being upturned about the original movie. So yeah, that's all I got on that.
No, it's just another one of those guy that was in the movie for 3 seconds and then there's like 13 different fan sites for the guy.
Right, but only this one there wasn't 13 different fan sites.
Well, no, but you don't know because we don't know his name.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Just go to that random guy that was in the cantina.com.
But you know what's funny is because he was just, he's a Corellian. So he looks like a human. He wasn't as interesting as all the other characters that get pictured, you know. So she's like, oh yeah, look, that guy and that guy, you know, the Deveronian and the Chadra fan and the, you know, and so yeah.
Well, you know, you're sitting there for like 2 seconds and then it's, oh, is that Satan?
Right. Yeah.
Who's the devil.
It's the devil.
Yeah.
It's the devil.
Yeah. No. I understand. I understand what you're saying. All right. Let's go to something a little outside movies, but sometimes it almost deserves some share time, love. Facebook turned 12.
No.
Last week.
I didn't get anything for it.
Oh, you've already been getting given a lot for it. They're All right, so this is a business website. So they're booking it that Facebook has cost Americans $3.5 trillion in squandered productivity. And I think I just contributed that by mentioning it in the last past 15 seconds. The company has 1.6 billion monthly active users, more than the population of any single country on Earth. And Facebook makes an average of $3.73 off of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Facebook users spend an aggregate of 10.5 billion minutes per day on the platform. Assuming that users spend about the same amount of time today, that means people all over the world have spent a collective 55 million years on Facebook since the beginning of 2009. So 20 minutes a day is a lot of time.
20 minutes? Who's just doing 20 minutes? Nobody's doing
20 average, minutes. Average.
Okay, average, fine, right. Fine. Okay.
Right. So it's the person that has a crappy phone, they try to turn Facebook on, and then it crashes. Work. That's right. What's bringing the average down.
That's bringing the average down. Damn it, I spent 30 seconds trying to get on Facebook, and I'm bringing down the average for everybody else.
Exactly. Why am I using Facebook? I'll just go to Tinder. if users spent just that time working for a minimum wage instead of liking and poking each other, Tinder, each would pull in about $880 a year.
I'm not going to deny any of that. That's truth.
Right.
20 minutes.
All right. So that's enough of Facebook. What do you got next?
I don't have any other good stories. I can't even follow that up.
Okay. All right. So I found this on r/movies on Reddit. So the thread topic or the title was almost all superhero movies have the hero's name in the title. Rename popular superhero movie titles without including the protagonist's name.
Okay.
All right. So here's what the Redditors came up with, or the Reddit. I don't know what you'd call it. I'm 46. I don't know what they're called. All right. Number one, the amazing guy who sticks to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That'd be Spider-Man, right? Blind Justice would be Daredevil.
Daredevil. Yeah.
Alternate title, The Doors That Way. Okay. Stars and Stripes guy who throws a giant saucer at people, colon, the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Heroes punch each other. Civil War.
Crazed orphan attacks people at night.
Okay, yeah.
Also, Nighttime Justice Puncher.
Nighttime Justice Puncher.
Iron Man Heavy Metal. For Hulk, This Man, This Monster. And The Avengers, All Together Now. And then we have Asgard Unleashed. The World's Smallest Heist. Mutation. World's Worst Heroes. And I'm going to stop with... Oh, no, there's two more. Sun-fueled alien hero guy.
Nice.
And the last one, as soon as I can find it. Oh, bunch of weird outer spaceship for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously. No. Yeah, it was obviously. A bunch of weird outer spaceship. Totally. Totally in for that.
Pretty much. All right. So I think that's going to end the news, and that's going to end our show. So everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. We will... catch you next time. And other than that, go see a movie, and we'll catch you later. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye, and go see Weird Outer Space Shit 2 Electric Boogaloo when that comes out.
Oh, great. Now a phone call from Lee. All right.